today's radio play, The Alibi Maker, is based on a most unusual story which will appear in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly, the magazine distributed with all Hearst's Sunday newspapers from coast to coast. Front-page dramas are produced in the studios of the General Broadcasting Company. Men stand grouped around a silk-covered bed.
She's dead, all right, Bertillon.
Yes, Ashton Wolf. Her distorted features are blue. That is caused by carbon dioxide poisoning.
How long would you say Madame Poudre has been dead, Doctor?
As near as I can tell, Miss Ashton Wolf. Death occurred about 2 o'clock in the morning.
Just come here, Ashton Wolf.
Oh, yes, Bertillon.
Examine these bolts. They look queer to me. If I only had a screwdriver.
Here you are.
Thanks. Now we shall see.
What did you find, Bertillon?
I'll tell you as soon as I get a couple of these screws out. Ah, there. Just as I thought. These screws have been recently taken out, oiled, and put back again.
How do you know?
See? These holes are so large that wedges of wood were inserted to get them to grip properly.
By Jove, so they were.
Now, that's decidedly strange.
What is?
If I put these screws back without the little wedges, so, the bolts hold fairly well, and to all appearances are normal. What if the door is unlocked? Here, let me see that key. I thought so. The end is all scratched where some kind of a long-nosed plier gripped it. Let's see. If the key was turned from the outside, watch now.
The door opens without a sound. The bolt drops off onto the carpet. It begins to look as if this case weren't suicide after all.
You see? Someone obviously fixed things in advance, so that he would be able to get in without waking the old lady after she'd gone to bed.
But how did she die?
I've already told you, by carbon dioxide poisoning.
I meant by what means.
Look, Ashton Wolf, all the charcoal in this brazier hasn't been consumed.
You're right. Doctor, would you say, taking into consideration the size of the room and the height of the ceiling, that the amount of carbon dioxide created by this half-burned charcoal could kill this woman?
Quite impossible, now that you draw my attention to it. But she did die from carbon dioxide poisoning. I'll take my oath on it.
And how on earth was she gassed to death?
Excuse me, gentlemen. Am I needed here any longer?
Thank you, Doctor. That's all for the moment. Just send in the gardener again, will you?
Certainly. I'm at your service any time you need me.
Thanks very much. See here, Bertillon.
Yes?
There's a network of these fine silk threads all over the room.
All except in one place, Ashton Wolf, where that gas stove was installed with a bronze plate fitted into the fireplace. What the devil does that mean?
We're dealing with an unusually ingenious criminal. Those threads were placed in order to...
What the same means?
Oh, the gardener. Yes, come here. Now, tell us again exactly what you found this morning.
This morning, when the maid couldn't get in here with the mistress's, God rest her soul and peace, coffee and rolls, I put the long ladder up to that window, broke a pane of glass, and climbed in. There was a note on that chair by the bed saying the mistress had decided to enter the spirit world. She was always holding meetings with the dead.
Meetings with the dead?
He means seances, Bertillon.
Oh.
Go ahead, gardener.
Yes, sir. Well, I take one look at the mistress there and climbs right back down my ladder and called you.
Was any of her jewelry taken?
We don't know, sir. She had a special safe built and sent us all away when it was being put in the house.
There was some sort of party here last night, wasn't there?
Well, it weren't much of a party, since you asked me. A lot of sitting around the parlor, holding hands with the lights out.
Another seance.
Well, how do you know so much about what went on in the parlor? Your duties keep you outside the house, don't they?
Yes, sir, but the mistress, God rest her soul in peace, always made us join in the hand-holding. She said we'd hear voices or something. I've been here 10 years and ain't heard nothing.
Well, that's all, gardener. You may go now. Oh, but don't leave the grounds. We may want to again a little later on.
Very good, sir. I'll be out in the greenhouse if you want me.
You were just going to tell me what those silk threads were put up for when the gardener came in, Ashton Wolf.
Haven't you been able to puzzle that out yet?
You mean the woman put up the threads herself to discover if anyone had come into her room?
No, you haven't solved it.
No?
I'll tell you. The criminal placed the threads wherever he thought there might be a hiding place for the safe.
Sure. The broken ends would show it up after the old lady had put her jewels away.
Of course.
Then that stove has something to do with it.
Oh, yes. Give me a hand, Bertillon.
Sure.
I think the safe is behind that bronze plate. Look for the spring which will let it swing out. Find it?
It's not on my side. How about yours?
Oh, I guess I was wrong. It doesn't seem to be... Hold on. I found it. Pull the stove while I push the spring. That's it.
You are right, Ashton Wolf. There's the safe.
With the door partly open. Now let's see what's in it.
Why, it's empty. The murderer got what he came for.
Yes, see this bit of fine chain?
Yes.
The keys must have been around the old lady's neck, and he had to kill her to get them.
Excellent deduction, Ashton Wolf, excellent. And since the murderer locked and bolted the door from the inside, he must have left by the window.
There's no other way he could have gotten out. And yet, the gardener says he had to break that pane of glass in order to get in. Let's have a look at it.
How on earth could he have gotten away? There were no footprints on the ground.
Look here, Bertillon.
Yes?
See this tiny hole drilled in the corner?
Yes.
And these scratches on the stone sill outside?
Uh-huh.
Our killer had a rope ladder of some special construction. He locked the window by means of a wire, removed it through this hole, climbed down to the ground, and pulled the ladder after him.
But how do you account for no footprints on the ground? All we found were those marks of a rake.
Well, that's where I'm stopped for the time being, Bertillon. But I have a hunch if we follow those rake marks far enough, they'll turn into footprints.
Found anything yet, Ashton Wolf?
No, Bertillon. We've only rowed across the lake once. We can't expect the drag to bring up something on the first trip.
Boatman, you're sure one of your boats was used last night?
I certainly am, sir. Someone picked the lock on the boathouse door. I found it lying on the ground, sprung open. There was mud and grass on the bow of this boat. As I clean these boats every day, sir, I know that neither that piece of string nor that bit of paper was there last night when I locked up.
Those footprints we found led straight to the edge of the lake, Bertillon. And this fellow's bit of paper was part of a bill for a cylinder of carbonic acid gas with a tube. We're on the right track.
Stop rowing. My drag is caught on something.
Pull it up easy. Here, I'll give you a hand.
A bundle wrapped in a blanket. Let me have your knife, boatman.
Yes,
I'll soon have it open.
A rope ladder. A pair of shoes with spike boards for soles.
Yes, that's what made those rake marks under the window.
Yes, and here's the cylinder that contains the gas. Get right down the name of the firm who made it, Bertillon, and the number stamped on it. We'll soon find out who bought it. And now, Monsieur Pardieu, please tell us just what happened the night of Madame Foudray's dinner party.
There were about a dozen of us there, I should say. We had a late dinner, then some cards. Then Madame Foudray held a seance. It was nearly one when we finally broke up. I offered Monsieur Montaigne a ride back to Paris in my car. He accepted, and that was the queerest thing.
What was?
Montaigne and I were the last to say goodnight to our hostess. And as we crossed the garden to the gate, I was sure he was right behind me. When I turned around at the gate to say something, Montaigne wasn't there at all. I was about to retrace my steps and look for him, when he suddenly appeared from behind my car at the curb.
I say, are you sure of that?
Positive, Mr. Ashton Wolf. I remember the incident particularly well because I was angry and puzzled. It seemed a silly trick to play on me. I asked Montaigne if the spirit had anything to do with the rapidity with which he reached the street.
What did he say to that?
I remember his exact words. He said, not at all. You probably didn't notice I passed you on the stairs.
Indeed.
Then what happened, Monsieur Pardieu?
We drove back to Paris and stopped at a nightclub for some supper. While we were there, Montaigne got into an argument with another patron of the place. A gendarme was called by the manager, and Montaigne gave him his card. I finally managed to drag him away and took him home.
Then you were with Montaigne from the time you left Madame Foudray's house until he got home?
Yes, Monsieur, that's true. I was. He said he was lonely and wouldn't hear of me leaving.
Come in.
Excuse me, Dr. Bertillon. I have that report ready.
Wait just a moment.
Yes, sir.
Ashton Wolf, we don't need to detain Monsieur Pardieu further, do we?
Oh, no. Thank you, Mr. Pardieu.
You're quite welcome, I'm sure. Please call on me at any time. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Well, Inspector?
The cylinder was bought at the Liquid Air Company. A porter carried it to a taxi for the purchaser. The taxi man tells us he drove to a corner near the home of a Monsieur Montaigne.
By Jove. Did he go right to the house?
No. The taxi man says his fare waited for him to drive off, so he doesn't know where he went with the cylinder.
It looks as if Montaigne's our man. What have we found out about him?
Andre Montaigne is a quiet man who lives with his wife in a big house just outside the city here. He's one of twins born 37 years ago.
His brother's report is having died about the age of 19.
Well, what about the fingerprint on the safe, Inspector?
It corresponds to a fingerprint we obtained from the Sieur Montaigne when he didn't know it was being imprinted.
Then Montaigne is a murderer.
Yes, he seems to be. But the trouble is, even if he did kill Madame Poudre, we can't arrest him.
Why not?
Because of that perfect alibi. The row, which the gendarme had to stop at the nightclub, and his friend, Monsieur Pardoux, being with him at the time.
Then what are we going to do?
Watch him, night and day. He'll make a false move, and we'll be on him like a hawk.
Where are we going, Ashton Wolf? All you said was get ready for a drive.
I know, Bertillon. I didn't have a chance to explain. Montaigne's wife sent her trunks to Holland by express. She started out by auto a short time ago carrying a large handbag. I think she's carrying Madame Poudre's collection of jewels.
No.
We're going to see. Drive carefully, Pierre.
What is she driving?
A 3-liter Bugatti.
Which means she can touch 90 miles an hour.
If the roads are clear.
But she's got a start on us, Ashton Wolf. How can we ever hope to catch her?
Pierre has taken a shortcut. She'll drive out the usual way. Pierre, slow down. Let's ask if this gendarme has seen her. Gendarme?
Monsieur?
We're from the Sûreté.
Monsieur?
Have you seen a great Bugatti pass this way within the past hour?
Oui, monsieur. About 5 minutes ago. It was going like the wind.
We're on a trail, Ashton Wolf. Let's get along.
Right-ho, Bertillon. Many thanks, gendarme. Drive on, Pierre.
It won't be long now. And if that woman has the jewels of Madame Poudre's, our case against her husband will be complete.
Yeah. Stop the car.
Huh? Why, what's the matter?
I caught a gleam reflected from our lights down that lane we just passed. Madame Montaigne's driven in off the road and is waiting until we go by.
She has? By Jove. Then she must have seen our lights on that hill back there.
Pierre, we'll drop out here. You drive on as though we were still with you. Come back in 10 minutes. Come along, Bertillon.
I'm with you.
There she is. You get on one side of her car, I'll take the other.
Right.
Oh, no, you don't, Madame Montaigne. You're under arrest. Snap the cuffs on her, Bertillon. Open that bag.
Jewels, just as we thought. Where did you get these, madame? You won't answer, eh? I advise you to defend yourself, or it'll go hard with you.
I'll show you how to get an answer out of our prisoner, Bertillon. Like this. I'll just remove her hat. And wig.
Why, it's a man. It's Montaigne himself.
No, you're wrong, Bertillon. This is Montaigne's supposed wife of many years, and his alibi maker, his twin brother.
Be sure to read the interesting details of this latest thrilling adventure of H. Ashton Wolfe, a former member of the French secret police, appearing in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly, the magazine distributed with all Hearst Sunday newspapers from coast to coast. You will find the story under the title, New Secrets of the Sûreté, the French Detective Police. This is Wentworth announcing, and turning the microphone over to your own announcer. Doctor's Delight is based on another thrilling adventure of H. Ashton Wolfe, former member of the French Detective Police, which will appear in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly, the magazine distributed with all Hearst Sunday newspapers from coast to coast. Front Page Dramas are produced in the studios of the General Broadcasting Company. Two men are the sole occupants of the office marked the Bureau of Detective Police. One of them, H. Ashton Wolfe, sits gnawing idly at a thumbnail, while the other, Dr. Bertillon, paces nervously back and forth. Finally, he throws himself into a chair.
I'm tired, terribly tired. Because I've succeeded more by good luck than cleverness in clearing up one or two mysteries, people seem to think I'm infallible, Ashton Wolfe. What on earth is there to investigate in a case like this?
I suppose you're referring to the strange death of that painter chap.
Yes, and that Mademoiselle Ludion, found under similar conditions. Dr. Mupa thinks they died from natural causes, and I'm inclined to agree with him. There's only one thing that makes it appear... who could that be? See who it is, will you?
Righto, Bertillon.
Are you the chief of police?
Not exactly, but I'm one of his assistants.
Then maybe you can help me. May I come in?
Why, certainly.
What is it, Ashton Wolfe?
Oh, this young lady. She seems in need of our help.
In what way? Speak up, miss. We're busy men.
You find lost girls here, do you not?
We haven't found any.